Let me do some housekeeping. We're going to this series is called Florida Man and Sin Uncensored. So any of you who like to sin, this is your course. When you do a series called Florida Man, people do respond. This email, Jeff, thank you for your new Florida Man series. The No Name Band sounds great. There you go. And I love the creative approach. Most of all, I want to thank you last week for including Florida Woman in the series.
Underrepresented. Yeah.
Now I can watch with my wife without her saying, Jeff is talking about you. This past Sunday, this is a different person. This past Sunday, you made the analogy that Christians who do not hydrate with the living water are dumber than crackheads that know that they need to stay hydrated. As a former crackhead, I can give testimony. Please quit offending us crackheads. Now they put a smiley face behind it, so I guess they were being happy at that point. Someone else wrote me a one-liner. Do you try to be offensive, or does it just come natural? And I don't know them, and I don't know what they are referring to, so I suppose as I craft my answer later this week, I'll come up with something really witty. I don't really understand the context. Sure it will. Yes, and then someone else said, I have lived most of my life with woulda, coulda, shoulda. Thank you for allowing me to laugh on the path to discovering the mystery of wisdom. And with that in mind, we kick off and we'll play Florida Man here for a minute. Now, here's the deal. We know the stories about Florida Man. I'm going to tell you in a couple weeks why Florida Man even exists and why that is such a thing. But there's already a pattern that's emerged. All of you got this, right? The location is Florida. To be a Florida man, Florida woman, it's going to happen here in the state of Florida. You are all firmly in the state of Florida, so there we go. There's a chemical reaction that usually is taking place somewhere in the story. It's usually alcohol or drug related. That chemical reaction is taking place in the body, causing the person located in Florida to do something weird. Usually, there is often a wildlife thing that emerges, more likely than not, a gator.
And a camera.
There's always a camera now. We live in a world where there's a camera. And then the element that really sets Florida man and woman off is there's a kiss of crazy to these people. And I say that in a loving way. It's not a statement on mental health. It's just a kiss of crazy. There's just something a little off about them. There's something a little bit different about them that will cause them to do what they do in any given situation. Now, that's what it takes to be a Florida man and woman. Okay? Most of us in this room exhibit some of these characteristics from time to time, and I'm not going to say which.
Which person?
Exactly. Okay. So, and it's only the grace of God that keeps us from being or falling into that trap. And so as we talk about people and we ridicule them endlessly, understand that it could be us. We've all had bad moments that we wish we could take back. We all have moments that some of you did 20 years ago that there were cell phones back then. You would be a Florida man and woman, no doubt about it. But here we are. Now, I've been digging, and of course, there's so many Florida man stories out there. This is fill in the blank, so you get to vote on this, so get ready to vote. This is the headline, Florida man threatens police with, how many of you think bottle of syrup would be what they threaten the police with?
We can't see all this.
Bottle of syrup? Okay, your choices are bottle of syrup, octopus, or screwdriver?
Octopus.
Not even close.
Yeah. Let's do this with some order. Bottle of syrup?
You got a few.
Okay. Octopus?
Oh, yeah.
Screwdriver?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Florida man threatens police with, correct answer, screwdriver. Claims his, here we're back to multiple choice again. Your choices are drugs, lizard, or pants. Ran away on their own.
Pants.
How many say drugs ran away on their own? Lizards ran away on their own.
Oh, there's got to be animals involved. Lizards.
Yeah. Pants ran away on their own. So the proper headline and the story is a Florida man threatens police with a screwdriver, claims his pants ran away on their own.
Okay.
You can Google that story and read it for yourself.
Oh, there's more.
Florida man arrested and banned from one of these three places, airport, Costco, or Disneyland. How many say airport? Costco?
I'll take Costco.
Disneyland. Okay. After, and these are the things they did. Dressing as Snow White, stealing a car battery, or urinating on the floor. How many think after dressing as Snow White? After stealing a car battery? Or urinating on the floor? See, and I didn't tell you where this happened because that would have given away. The Florida man is arrested, banned from the airport after they urinated on the floor. Actually, they urinated on the floor of an airplane. If you go back and really do a deep dive of the story, that'll get you kicked off most of the time.
There's only Spirit Airlines.
Unless you're flying JetBlue, and then you just
What are you gonna do? You get kicked off a Spirit Airlines.
Florida man accused of trying to escape from, your choices would be the police, a Tinder date, or their wife. All right. How many think this Florida man was accused of trying to escape the police? A Tinder date. Wife. All right. On A, kayak, B, police horse, or C, a stolen hoverboard. So, Florida man accused of trying to escape from his, the correct answer is police. On a, how many say kayak? Police horse?
Yeah.
Hoverboard. Correct answer? Kayak.
Oh.
And you can Google all those stories for your very own because there's nothing like Florida man out there. No stopping Florida man. Now, tonight, I want to kick off. We're running this alongside of our Florida Man series, and obviously, Florida Man is a series about wisdom, and we're almost in my mind we're catching our breath a bit from the Genius series. At least for me as a teacher, allows me to kind of catch my breath a little bit from the Genius series, and we're loading up the series that's getting ready to come before Easter called Elephant in the Room. And we're going to cover a lot of stuff that's very, very culturally cutting and will be a little bit heavier. So we're balancing the thing out. We're balancing what we do and what we're covering. But I want you to understand something, that when we talk about wisdom, I'm not assuming that all of us are real good at this thing called obedience. I mean, all of us mess up from time to time. And if any of you don't struggle with that, if any of you guys feel like you just get it right all the time and you don't have to worry about being obedient or anything like that, good for you. And this series then is not for you. So if you want to leave, now would be the time. Pray, you leave, you get out. I mean, you get out of here, you're perfect people. I'm going to assume if you stick around that all the sinners are in the room and we can really talk, as Steve Brown might say. Now, can we talk? It is that moment for us where we have to realize that this is not, living the life that we're called to live isn't easy. You just get better at it. But I want to say something that is going to surprise you. It might even offend you just a little bit. If you are a staunch, serious church attender, church person, but you need to stay with me because it'll make sense by the time I'm done. But I want to say a good word about sin. I want to say something good about sin. And that seems like that might be a contradiction of terms because we know that sin separates us from God and is bad. But I will be the first to climb up and say, I'm pretty good at sin. You don't need a nod. But I appreciate the affirmation, guys. I'm pretty good at sinning. Matter of fact, sometimes I like to sin. Now again, I'm a reform, I'm getting better, trying not to be as bad at it as I used to be. But you have to understand that for me, as a pastor, one of the most difficult things that I have to do as a pastor is try to convince people and persuade people not to do what they obviously like to do. Yeah. I mean, I know. I stand in front of people every week and I talk about whatever it is that we're supposed to be about. We're supposed to be obedient. We're supposed to be good. And in some ways, I'm trying to convince people not to do what they like to do. And some do it very, very well. Not you guys, you're the midweek crowd, but Sunday morning crowd, that a little rough. When a bank robber was asked one time, why do you rob banks? They said, that's where the money is. And so sin is attractive, which is why we like it. Now, that's just an honest talk about sin. And so one of the hardest things we even do as followers is we come at it when it comes to sharing our faith. And sometimes we just come at it the wrong way. I mean, no one wants you to get in their face and call them a sinner. Rick, you sin. Turn or burn or go to hell. and you get intense about it, right? I mean, that's real smooth, isn't it? I mean, that's smooth. Listen, just as I am, because he's ready to convert. I mean, there's nothing about that's nice. And so when you deliver that message, well, you're a sinner. You need Jesus. Or you will rot in hell. Well, wow, that's good news, right? No, the good news is we don't have to go to hell, and we know that. You all know that. But all of us have stuff that we already know we do in our life that we just ought not to do. And that makes us kind of unwise, doesn't it? Because we know better. Now, most of you in the room, know when you do something wrong in that moment, you know you have sinned. Very few of us have the ability to sin and not realize what we're doing. Okay? It's a skill set we have. We're good at it. And if you don't know it's sin, then it probably really isn't sin, because sin really has to do with the heart. Right? So when you do something that you know that God's not going to be pleased with, that's sin. Speaking of sin, hey, Glenn Rogers, come on in.
I just came across the border and they gave me my papers.
Yeah, come on in. You're safe. You stay here. Was that the northern or southern border? Which one? We have trouble at both now, I hear. All right. Okay. So timing is everything. And so I'm glad you just don't miss that whole confession thing I just did. That would be pretty embarrassing in front of my pastor to have him hear that. So Mark, make sure that doesn't go online. Anyway, but when we know in our hearts that we're doing something wrong, we know that we're doing something that God doesn't like, that's sin, right? And so we're all pretty well versed in that. I mean, when we say we live in a fallen world, broken world, we're all broken. We got that down. We know that. Some of you know me long enough and you've seen me sin pretty good. The balance is I've seen you as well. And so we don't talk about such things. But let me say a couple of good things about sin. Uncensored conversation about sin that I think will be helpful for us. The first thing that I think is a positive thing about sin is it gets us to know God. See, because if it weren't for sin, I wouldn't know God. Think about it. If you didn't sin, you wouldn't know him. And so anybody would tell you different, they're lying to you. And so it is our sin that gets us to the point where we're looking to connect with God. See, and it's not just small stuff. Right, because one of the things that's so hard sometimes when you're talking to kids about faith and salvation is most kids, when they're little, they haven't done anything bad enough to really hit the sin-o-meter, right? I mean, sin-o-meter. I remember when I came to Christ. I mean, I came to Christ, I just didn't want to go to hell. I couldn't tell you exactly what I had done wrong, except for the fact that I knew that I hadn't accepted Jesus. I mean, I couldn't give you a list of things I really needed to turn away from as a kid. I couldn't go anywhere without my parents whacking me in the head. I mean, I haven't turned very far. If I misbehaved in church, my mom would whack me in the head. But I also knew that if I died because I knew better, I needed to know Jesus. So that was enough. That got me down the aisle. That got me to shake my preacher's hand. That got me to say, I need to pray to receive Jesus, and I want you to baptize me, and let's get on with this thing. I knew that much, but I don't know what I really did wrong. When you get to the point where you understand things, see, if you don't think of anything real big, then the Savior who saves you can be really small. For example, if you haven't done anything really bad, Jesus could send a substitute. Why would you need the real thing? But when you've done something that's bad enough to separate you from God and damn you to hell, you need a big Savior. I say that to say, the bigger the problem, the bigger the solution must be. And according to everything I read in Scripture, sin is such a big problem that only the biggest of solutions would work. And so, if our sins had been little, God could have sent us a book on how to correct ourselves. But God looked down on, and we even talked about it in Genesis here. I mean, as we were talking, and you guys were sharing a minute ago, God looked down on us and saw the choices we were making and realized that the only plan that was going to work, the only way it was going to be cleaned up, is if he showed up himself and he sent his son. Big problems need the biggest solutions. And so, you know, while we're laughing about Florida Man, because Florida Man is easy to laugh about, you know, we've told so far in 2 weeks, we've told some pretty dumb stories about what people do. And we've shown some videos of people being stupid. But a willful choice that all of us have to deal with is we have sinned so big that God had to send his biggest solution to clean up that mess for us. But if it hadn't been for my big sin, I never got a chance to know God. So as much as I hate my sin, I surely like the fact that I got a chance to see him. As much as I hate sin, I love the fact that that sin allowed me to discover the freedom that God can give. Someone said one time, and we hear it in church a lot, you got to hate the sin and love the sinner. You heard that? Let me suggest to you, that if you go back and you get serious about what the Bible says you need to love the sinner. Quit worrying about someone else's sin. See, it's a given. When I stand before you on a Sunday morning, or you come in here on Wednesday night, or we're teaching right now, when I say, hey, I've sinned, and I know you have too, well, I can say that with a smile because I know that most of you are forgiven because I know where you are in your spiritual walk. We've talked about that a little bit. And so I say that with the freedom of being someone who is in a recovering state. I am a recovering sinner. Each week is the opening of the doors and Sinners Anonymous walks in. If you ever think you're better than that, like I said, you're in the wrong place. Now, the Last Baptist Church is still open down the street. You probably could go there. Eric would love to see you. He's working to make those people perfect. I'm not. I want you to be worse than me. So I'm not making bones about it. We'll put on a billboard. I want you to stay worse than me because it makes me feel better about me. But at the end of the day, my job is to love the sinner because that's what God did for me. I don't have time to really hate your sin because I need to kind of hate mine. Because let's be real honest. When someone says that in church, you know what they're saying, right? I want to talk about your sin just a little bit. Or let's kind of get in there, needle at you just a little bit. Or we say it because I feel better about myself. Because I don't have that sin as bad as you have that sin. And I like the fact that your case of sin is a lot worse than mine. Because I feel good about that. That's sin, by the way. To feel that way is sin. And so my suggestion to you is don't get real fancy with your spiritual phrases. Matter of fact, you can leave most of those at the curb because we live in a day and age where Florida Man and Florida Woman are very real. And we live in a world where the culture has become just so good at taking and twisting truth. And we live in a day and world where it's real easy for folks just to ignore the church because we say things like that. Because when I make a statement like that, I'm going to love the sin, but I'm going to hate the sin. Anybody that knows me can look back and go, well, you know, you need to clean up your own backyard a little bit, don't you, Junior? And the answer is, yep, I sure do. So we need to put the focus where it needs to be. We just got to love the sinner. And the reason we can is because that's what God did for us. He sent a big solution for our big problem. The intensity of a problem can be measured by the intensity of the solution. The intensity of the problem can be measured by the intensity of the solution. Always can be. There's some times in my life where I look around, I take inventory, and I praise God. I don't have some of the problems that other people have. I'm thrilled to death. But sometimes I look at the world and I just think, man, I don't even know how to help them. And in that moment, what I'm saying is I'm making an admission that there's an intensity to a solution that needs to happen in the world that I don't have. Well, that's what God had on his hands when he looked at us. And so as a result of that, Jesus explained it this way in Matthew 9, 10 through 13. He said, you know, he was a physician and he'd come for the sick people, not for those who are well. So, in an uncensored conversation about sin, I want to admit to you openly and freely, had it not been for my sin, I would not know God. And neither would you. And as bad as sin is, and as much as I hate sin, I don't love sin, but I love the fact that my sin got me to Jesus. So, if you are a sinner, and you meet someone, and they talk about the fact that, man, I'm just bad. Yeah. But it's the badness that lets you meet God. You have something to open the conversation with. I don't know why we haven't done that, if we share with people. We act sometimes like, you know, our halos are on straight and we don't need to do anything about it. But at the end of the day, we all kind of are caught with crooked halos and we all kind of have that you know, limp that we get when, you know, you've been wrestling with God just a little bit and we just aren't what we need to be. And the great news is God knew that and he did what he had to do to clean you up. So every time we read about Florida man doing something stupid, or the email I gave you from my crackhead listener, you know, I mean, we find ourselves in a situation where and it's not for the grace of God, I could be there. If it weren't for the grace of God, I could be that person. If it weren't for the grace of God, that could be me. And so at the end of the day, there is an intensity that we bring when we talk about the hope and the love of Christ, and we ask him for wisdom to be able to navigate, because we do live in a world of incredibly broken people. And even the people who are trying to get it right, like you and I, are pretty broken too. We're pretty busted up. And we need a lot of help. That ought to stir within us a compassion for folks that maybe sometimes we don't really feel like we need to. And so, just think about that. Again, that's the first thing I would say about sin. The second thing I would say is that had it not been for my sin, I wouldn't be able to love others. See, stick with me on this, because this is an uncensored conversation about sin. But I can tell you, every one of you in this room, this. If it weren't for my sin, I never would have got a chance to love you. When it happened? Why would I have? What's the score? Kentucky 26, Florida 13. All right, now, I can tell you exactly what the score is. Give me a second.
You sent me here just to do that.
Yeah, okay. But but if it weren't for you, I mean, I couldn't even be here. So if it weren't for my sin, I never would have got a chance to love you. And so believe it or not, my sin, one of the great gifts of my sin is you. Isn't that great? Kind of an odd way of looking at the world, isn't it? But by the same token, the same is true for you when you look at me. Because, Yeah, because we would not have had the opportunity to connect and love each other. We wouldn't share that bond of family had it not been for our sin, because our sin gets us to Jesus. And the only way that we can love each other in spite of our sin is because of God. And so one of the good gifts that he gives to us, or one of the good things that happens because of sin, is that we get the opportunity to connect. Remember when Jesus washed the disciples' feet in John 13? It was at Last Supper. And Jesus is kind of on that countdown of getting ready to check out. And they've, you know, the practical side of it is they had been outside, and it was only not only custom, but there was practical side of it too. Their feet were dirty. And so Jesus does the unthinkable. The rabbi wraps a towel around himself, kneels down in front of each of his disciples, and washes their feet. And he does it, and in John 13, verses 12 through 16, it says this: "Do you not understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because I am. If I then, as your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that you also should do just as I've done to you. Truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him." Why did he wash their feet? I just told you, because they were dirty. But also, it was a metaphor for sin. Jesus tells us then that we have a responsibility to serve. Jesus tells us that we have a responsibility because of who we are, because of what he has done for us, that we have to do the same for other people. So in the context of us, we discover that love is a response not to goodness. Love is not a response to perfection. Love is not a response to obedience. If that love is a response to those things, it's a reward. It's not love. Love is a choice we make to love people when they are dirty. Come back to my main point, or come back to where I started. Had it not been for my sin, I would never have gotten a chance to love you. And I love you, by the way. And some of you love me. And you never would have got that chance had it not been for your sin. So as much as I wish, as much as I hope for the fact that the world was not broken like it is, I'm incredibly thankful for the fact that God has allowed my sin to get me to the point where I have met God and understand that he loves me, and has gotten me to the point where I have the opportunity now to do life with you as a family. So we are family, and one of the reasons we are family is because of sin. What a crazy way to make sin sound good, huh? Now, we all know sin's not good, but the other thing is we get to live forgiven. Jesus makes us clean. And so for us, we discover that we've been loved, and we know that we don't deserve it. And we find out that we're loved anyway. And only those who don't deserve it can really be loved, because they're the ones that are willing to receive it and give it back. And so there is something about that brokenness that happens because of sin, that willingness to deal with the fact that our sin is real. I'm not shocked anymore by the things that happen in the world around me, even among Christian people. Sin is disappointing, but it's not shocking. And you know why? Because I have a theology that understands that sin was so big that God had to send Jesus to clean it up. Which means that anything is possible and forgivable, but that means that you and I run that potential of doing anything. And that's tough. And we then have to use the wisdom of knowing that, understanding, coming to grips with the reality of, man, we live in a world that is broken, and I'm getting better, but man, I'm still broken too. And so I need the grace of God to keep me from falling in the trap of being Florida man or Florida woman. Probably not going to be Florida woman, just as a side note. That is not a struggle that I have, and I'm not going to confess that. My pronouns are in place. Now, the third thing I want you to see, that also, that you were not would not have discovered, if not for your sin, is that you never would have discovered joy. You never could have discovered joy. Martin Luther once wrote to his friend, "God does not save people who are only fictitious sinners. Be a sinner and sin boldly, but believe in Christ even more boldly, for he is victorious over sin, death, and the world." If it weren't for my sin, I never would have come to know Jesus. If it weren't for my sin, I never would have learned to love others. And if it weren't for my sin, I never would have found or experienced joy. The joy that comes from knowing that I am forgiven and accepted and can be different. See, the joy that culture will offer you is cheap and superficial. It's usually tied to a feeling that can change or be lost. And I think I said Sunday something along the lines of, if you're building your happiness on anything that can be lost, you have built your happiness on the wrong thing. If you find joy in anything that can simply just be lost or taken away, and that's where you're building your life, you've missed the mark. But because of the sin of my past that has been forgiven, I found joy. Someone was asked one day, "How are you doing?" They said, "I'm doing so good that I think God has overlooked me. I think if he had not overlooked me, I would have been dead from the lightning bolt that he might have thrown at me." And he thought about it for a minute. He said, "You know, I prefer it when God overlooks me. I like it when God leaves me alone." And then he stopped for a minute and kind of caught himself and went on to say, "But he hasn't overlooked me, has he? Because when I go to his word, I discover that he has numbered the hairs on my head. He continues to bless me, and he's fond of me, and he forgives me. Go figure. He's given me joy." See, we move through life sometimes, and we're always wanting and aching for God to do something beyond what he's doing, never understanding or embracing the fact that it is Jesus and his sacrifice and what he did on the cross and his resurrection that allows us to experience the joy of knowing that we're forgiven. And so often, if we're not wise, we will miss it and make mistakes. Remember the very first week of the series, and there's no reason you would remember this, but I quoted to you the prophet Jimmy Buffett and his song Florida's, where in the song, in the context of the song, he said, "I'm looking for a break. I'm looking for some give without the take." And I want you to know that when we talked about that, we talked about the fact that he's looking for better days. But I want you to understand that's who we are as followers. I told you before this before, it is still true. Acts 17:28 is my life verse. And it's written in every Bible. It's one of the first things I do when I get my Bible. I'll write this right at the very front because I know that one day I will lose my mind and I won't be able to remember it as well as I used to, but hopefully God will be merciful. I'll remember. But it says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." That's how I live life. In him I live and I move and I have my being, and that brings me joy. The New Century Version says it this way, and I don't have that one memorized. "By his power we live and move and exist." And I want you to know that that means that because we don't have to be confused or stay confused about it. If you want to know who you're supposed to be, you can find your identity in him, and here's who you're supposed to be. This is the call of God in your life. The call of God in your life is that you live on the tip of a lightning bolt. And he is sending you into places each and every day of your life where you can touch and change that with the love of Christ with an explosive side of you. Did you know it existed? The explosive side of you is the joy that you have. If you walk into a room and people can't see the joy that you have because you don't deserve forgiveness, you don't deserve anything that you've got, if you can't show that to someone else, if you can't quit your moping around, you need to go back and discover what it is that Jesus really did for you That means you can't be in a bad mood. I'm not saying that. You can't stay in a bad mood. I'm praying for the salvation of Eeyore. Oh, I know he's cute. He's a whiner. If he were one of the disciples, I'd have kicked him out. I don't know how Pooh does it. Why does Pooh put up with him? Because Pooh doesn't have any friends. No one wants to play with Pooh. Anyway, the call of God in your life is to live life at the tip of a lightning bolt. And here's what you have to remember. You don't have to have a vision for your life. Let me blow up this whole idea. You don't have to have a vision for your life. Here's why. God has the vision already. All you have to do is choose to say yes. Change all the conversation. I don't know what to do with my life. I don't know where I'm supposed to be. I don't know where I'm supposed to go. God has a vision for your life. Just say yes. Well, I don't know God's vision for my life. Ah, now you need to strap on that lightning bolt and get to the tip of that thing, don't you? Because now's when you need to get serious about it. See, this is what they don't tell us about sin in seminary. I needed sin to get to seminary so I could learn to sin better.
Put that on the sign,
yeah. Come here and sin better with us each week. But I am accepted, and Jesus has made me acceptable. Without him, I'm neither of those things. And you don't like me. You don't love me. And I don't like and love you. Why would I bother? Why should you bother? Okay. We'll stop there, because that's uncensored conversation about sin. I would venture to say, Glenn's here. He can give us a little testimony on this, not about sin. But maybe he can. But how often, how often is that topic covered?
Sin?
No, how often is the good side of sin covered in churches?
More rarely.
Yeah. More rarely.
Other than the first thing, you hear the laws of schoolmaster bring us to Christ and that whole package of theology there where sin, conviction, and we come to Christ, that part, but I don't think we look at it much as how it affects our relationship. I mean, we know sin affects our relationship, but it also, because being honest about it can make it really good. Mm-hmm. I'll give you my takeaway from tonight.
Okay.
No, I will. You didn't ask for it, but I'll give it to you.
Again, that's why I come back.
I've been picking up here since I came in, so anyway. When I'm most unlovely is when I'm not being honest about my sin. And when I have a hard time loving other people when they're not being honest about theirs.
That's true.
So honesty about sin, like the prodigal son, he came to himself and he came to the Father, that sets you up for right relationships.
It does.
That's my takeaway.
It's a good takeaway. You win. I'm glad you got here, because on the other side of this board I listed all of your sins. No, I didn't. Not really. I did not. Just kidding. Just kidding. All right. Any other questions, comments? We got like 60 seconds. We have to be done. Okay. If you wouldn't mind, pray for me, because in 15 minutes, I'm jumping to my office to do a podcast tonight for the next hour and a half. So my night is still young, but I get to talk about Jesus, and I get to talk about leadership, and I get to talk about education, and I get to talk about why sometimes it doesn't work very well, and I get to share some radical ideas about how to do it better, which means I really do like what I'm getting ready to do, because I'm getting ready to make a lot of new friends, and so it'll be fun. I forget how many 750,000 listeners to this podcast will be hearing it this over the next 2 weeks, and so I'm pumped about that. So just pray for me that I don't say anything too stupid, hey, sin, not so bad sometimes. All right, anyway, let's pray so we get out of here. God, I thank you for this group of sinners in process. I thank you that we're not as bad as we were. And I pray that we would get better. But more than anything else, I thank you that you have forgiven those sins so that we don't have to live lives without joy. And so because of that, we can love each other. Because of that, we can discover you. And because of that, we have a message to share with the world that it desperately needs to hear. And so, Lord, be with us as we leave this place this week. Help us not to be Florida men and Florida women. Help us to step up and be a little bit better than that. And help us to be a voice of wisdom in a world that goes wonky way too often. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.